Yes, I hear you. What do you want? I'm here. What do you want?
Can you tell us a story?
Yes, a story. A real one.
A real one? What story would you want?
How about a story about you?
And what story would that be?
Tell us about becoming the great apostle.
Okay, I will do that. Go ahead and sit down. I was down there, not here. Sit down. Well, a story like that needs to start at the beginning. You see, I was born in Tarsus, okay? And I was born to the tribe of Benjamin. So I was a Hebrew. And because I was born in Tarsus, I was also a Roman citizen. So I had dual citizenship. I was part of the Israelite nation. I was a Hebrew and a Jew, but I was also a Roman. There weren't too many people like that in that day and age. Okay? And when I was real young, I went to Jerusalem. And there I got to be a student of the greatest teacher of that day, a person by the name of Gamaliel. He was well respected, well known. Everybody honored him, and only the best became his students. So that was special. And I learned what it meant to be Jewish, and I came to know everything there was about the law. And I was very, very devout. I was faithful. I knew every law and kept it. And I was proud of that. You see, I was a Pharisee, like my father before me, a family of Pharisees. And so I was well respected and known to be devout and faithful. And I was adhered to every single law. And I became an officer of the Sanhedrin. That was an important position. The Sanhedrin was the court, okay, the law of the temple, okay? And the Sanhedrin is the big body that passed judgments on people. Why? Even Jesus was seen there and tried there. So it was a big, important thing. Now, it was in that capacity, one day as an officer of the Sanhedrin, that I was the witness to a trial. A man named Stephen, they had arrested for doing bad things in the public. And for teaching that Jesus was God. That a man was God. That was blasphemy. Only God is God, none other. Therefore, this guy was preaching blasphemy. And they had a trial and they sentenced him. And they took him outside the city to this area to stone him. And I, as the officer of the court, stood there and watched it all. And they stoned him and killed him right there. And the amazing thing was, is that at the very end, even while the stones were pummeling him, he looked up and prayed to Jesus that their sins would not be laid upon them, and still called him Lord. That drove me to a fever pitch. This was so terribly wrong. And so many people were becoming to learning about this Jesus and calling him God and Lord and saying that he was the Son of God. And so, as an officer of the court, I could do something about that. So I went about back and forth, up and down through Jerusalem, and I looked for these people who believed in Jesus. And I captured them. And I took them before the Sanhedrin. And most of them were stoned. But they ran. They started scattering. They left Jerusalem and went out to other areas. And I chased them throughout all Judea. And then into Samaria. And then I found out that they had gone into Damascus. They had spread all the way to Damascus. So I went to the Sanhedrin, to the chief priests, and I said, give me a paper, a letter, where I can chase them even in Damascus and bring them back to you. And they gave me that letter. And a group of soldiers, temple soldiers, to go with me. And we traveled all the way to Damascus, me and those soldiers. And just as we was getting to Damascus, something happened. Something that changed my life forever.
Well, what happened?
Yeah, what's next?
What do you mean your life changed?
Well, my life changed. I was riding along on a horse with all the soldiers following me, and we got to where we could see into Damascus. And all of a sudden, there was this bright, shiny light that came down out of the sky, and it hit me. And I couldn't move. I was stiff all over. And I fell off the horse. And I'm laying there, and this light is all around me. And I hear this voice, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Well, it definitely wasn't a human voice. It had to be an angel or even God himself. Who are you, Lord, that I was persecuting you? And the voice said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. Now rise and go into the city, for there is a man there who will tell you what you must do. And the light went away, and I was blind. I could open my eyes, but I couldn't see anything. Nothing. It was dark. And the men with me, they heard the voice too, but they saw no one there. And they helped me up on my horse and led me into Damascus and found a place for me at an inn. And for 3 days, I prayed and I fasted. I didn't eat anything. I didn't drink anything. Waiting. And God told me that this man would come and heal me. And a man by the name of Ananias, a very devout believer in Jesus, came to me. And he laid hands on me and prayed for me. And I could see, it was almost like scales fell off my eyes and I could see again. Besides receiving my sight, I also received the Holy Spirit. And God led me from that moment and showed me what I was to do. Now, there's three important lessons in that story. Okay? The first of one is sometimes we can become so very convinced that we know what God wants, what God desires, and what God will do, that we take no time to listen for God to speak and find ourselves fighting against God rather than fighting for God. You see, I was convinced I knew what God wanted. That there was to be this Messiah, but he would be our king, the Jewish king, and that it would be our kingdom. I had forgotten that God long ago said that Israel, the Jewish faith, was to be a light to the Gentiles, a light to convince the rest of the peoples of the world that there is but one God. And I thought the Messiah made an earthly kingdom. But what God had planned from the very beginning was not what I thought. From the very beginning, God had planned to send His Son, that all the world should be saved, not just the Jews, but all people, all mankind. And you know, it's still going on. Sometimes Christians are so sure they know what God wants and what God will do that they sometimes forget to listen for God to speak to them and tell them what to do. Now, the second thing is this. I was pretty bad. I arrested all those people, and the majority of them were stoned, were killed. And I was guilty of each of those because I took them before the Sanhedrin. I had persecuted the church of Jesus. I deserved to be sent to hell, to be forever cast away from God. There is nothing that you can do that God cannot forgive you of. The only sin that you can do and God can't forgive is not believing in Jesus. Everything else, God can forgive. Jesus died on the cross, and His blood was poured out. He bled to death on the cross for us. That regardless of whatever sin we had ever committed, God could forgive us. And the third thing is, that no matter how bad we have been, no matter what sin we have committed, no matter what other people think of you. I mean, the Christians didn't think too highly of me when I was chasing them, now did they? So, in spite of all that, God used me. And the gospel of Jesus Christ was spread throughout the world. He used me to take his gospel and faith in Christ throughout all the world. God can use each of us where we are to touch people around us if we open ourselves to God speaking to us. Do you understand this?
Yeah, God is being able to forgive all of us, even the worst of us.
It means that each of us can hear God speak to us.
It means God will guide us to do what he wants us to do.
It means we can offer God's peace to other people.
That's right. If we have ears for the word of God, then we become the hands, the legs, and the mouth of God, the body of Christ to reach out to the world with love and forgiveness. Let us pray. Gracious Almighty God, we thank you for raising up Paul, for showing us that you have a plan that we can be part of, that we can be forgiven and walk in peace in Jesus Christ and tell others of the great mercy and love that God has for each of us. And gracious Lord, pour out your Spirit upon us that we might be moved as Paul was moved to share your love, your peace, and your forgiveness to all people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.